Case for argument, Ben Haleem versus Ashcroft, Mr. Helps.
Good morning, my name is Christopher Helt, and may it please the court. This matter comes before the court on a petition for review, an appeal of the Board of Immigration Appeals Affirmance Without Opinion, better known as the AWO decision of the immigration judge's denial of Mr. Haleem, Ben Haleem's request for political asylum, withholding of removal, and protection under the Convention Against Torture. Mr. Haleem also requested the discretionary relief of voluntary departure that was also denied. He was issued an order of removal in August of 2002, and he appealed that decision. That appeal was fully briefed and denied by the Board of Immigration Appeals. Subsequent to that, Mr. Haleem filed a petition for review and challenging the decision of the immigration judge, challenging the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals, and presenting the issue, which we submit to the court as follows, whether the immigration judge erred in finding that the respondent to be a persecutor. We feel that this is a novel issue, that the Board of Immigration Appeals has in fact dealt with this issue on only two occasions that we have found. This case is somewhat an anomaly because we have both sides coming forward and basically acknowledging that the petitioner here had demonstrated the four prongs of the Madarabi test, which basically he demonstrated to the Immigration Service and, of course, on his own submission, that he had a well-founded fear of persecution.
But doesn't this case get down to the prerogative of the immigration judge to believe that the account he gave to the asylum officer was an accurate account and not the account he gave later? And if so, where is our authority to disagree with that factual conclusion?
Well, I believe that the judge erred in the determination, a proper determination, that while he does have a wide discretion with this grant, in this case, and when I say unusual, because normally you don't have the actual asylum officer testifying, in this case you had an assessment report made by the asylum officer that my client did in fact demonstrate a well-founded fear.
As you say, this case is really about whether he is now disqualified because of the statutory provision about persecutors.
Yes.
And the immigration judge found evidence in the record that he, in fact, had assisted the Libyan government in its surveillance, I'm not sure what word to use, but its efforts to keep track of other people who were in Egypt and elsewhere, tapping their phones, bugging their apartments, making reports on them. That's a fact. I mean, either he did it or he didn't do it, and there was evidence in the record from which the judge could conclude that he did.
That's correct. The judge did find the petitioner to be a persecutor, stating that he was found to have assisted in the persecution of others. However, the two cases that the board deals with specifically outline the definition of who is a persecutor, and we submit here that the facts are clear that the judge did not follow the case law, did not follow the proper definitional requirement of who is a persecutor. And I think this is very important because the determination here has already been that he has a well-founded fear of persecution. And this is an individual coming from a country that is well known to be engaging in a violation of gross human rights. And this individual has already been found to have demonstrated this well-founded fear. So the issue here has been, we feel that...
Right, but tell me why bugging people's phones, and if you were to believe what the asylum officer said Mr. Ben Haleem did, isn't that enough under the statutory definition to disqualify him from asylum?
It may well be, but we don't think the evidence has demonstrated that he even came close to that finding.
Well, how do you, I mean, we don't have a situation here, and there are sometimes problems with the asylum officers that they give scanty reports or no details. Here, it was a lengthy report, and your client signed off on different portions of it, albeit I understand his explanation was he didn't quite get it, he wasn't sure what was there. But there was other evidence indicating that he did understand, and the sister, the role she played. I mean, so
yes.
We don't have just an asylum officer making a conclusion or reporting a statement without what appears to be a substantial documentation
and
a thorough interview.
That's correct, Your Honor. And we're not only hanging our hat on just the assessment report, because we understand that once an applicant comes forward, there's a de novo request and a review anew of the application. But the officer in this case actually testified at the trial, and she reaffirmed the same conclusion. We quoted that in our brief, stating that he did, in fact, meet the well-founded fear.
Yeah, I understand that, but we're on the problem as to whether or not he's now disqualified because of his activities.
And we would submit that he's not disqualified, that he doesn't fall within the ambit of a persecutor, number one. And
why
even
not?
If he
why
had,
not?
Why not? I don't get that.
Because the logic behind the judge's decision, it's not supported in the evidence.
Well, let's start with the statutory definition of a persecutor, okay? I mean, this is not a gestalt operation here.
The two cases that we discussed are Rodriguez, Mojani, and Fuentes, and they're both Board of Immigration Appeals decisions. And they discuss with the issue of persecutor, and there's an extensive quote. I don't want to
re-quote
it, but this is what we're hanging our hat on in terms of what the definition of this persecutor, and we would like the court to balance that definition with what the conduct in the record shows that my client did.
And so what are the elements of the definition as you see it that you extract from those two cases?
That a person would be ineligible or barred, as the court suggested, if that person had actually harmed other people.
But that's not what the statute says. Persons who have ordered, incited, assisted, or otherwise participated in the persecution, et cetera. So you don't have to be the one inflicting immediate harm if you have assisted, otherwise participated in.
That's correct, but his activities do not even come close to that as they were, as they came out in the trial. We would submit it's not even close to that. We don't understand how that conclusion could have been made.
Okay.
And he denied that. He categorically denied that when he was directly asked both by the government and his attorney during the trial and the court.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Helm, Mr. Lawrence.
May it please the court, my name is Victor Lawrence and I represent the Attorney General. This court should deny these petitions for review. Substantial evidence supports each of the three findings of the immigration judge relating to Ben Halim's claims of asylum and deferral of removal. Substantial evidence supports the finding of adverse credibility. Substantial evidence supports the finding that he didn't satisfy his burden of proof. And substantial
now
evidence.
What is this? Who was it he was persecuting exactly?
He was assisting or otherwise participating in the persecution of Libyan nationals who were living in Egypt by reporting to the Libyan government that these individuals were getting too involved in Islam, for one.
Yeah.
And also.
And why is that persecution?
Because he understood that the result of that.
No. These Islamic people. I mean, certainly being an undercover agent and investigating your nation's enemies, that wouldn't be persecution, right?
But that's not the case here.
What is the nature of this Islamic movement that Libya is concerned about?
Well, there's not enough evidence in the record.
Well, that's kind of critical, isn't it? I mean, what if this is, Al Qaeda? Right, that's an Islamic movement that is very disturbing to these North African governments. Now, would someone who was planted as some kind of undercover agent to spy on Al-Qaeda, would that person be assisting in persecution?
Under that fact scenario, I can't see, I don't believe we'd be making that claim.
So isn't the nature of this Islamic activity of these students in Egypt, these Libyan students in Egypt, isn't that germane to determining whether this person is assisting persecution?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because the testimony was that this individual, Ben Halim, knew that as a result of his reports back to the government that these people were getting too involved in Islam, that they would suffer harm.
But that's also that's true of any kind of undercover operation, right? If you're looking for the national enemies or so on, of course they will come to grief. The question is this persecution of some harmless religious movement of some sort, or is this a concern with radical Islam, with terrorist activities, which, as I say, these North African governments are extremely disturbed about radical Islam. There's a civil war in Algeria, and of course, a lot of unrest in Egypt and so on. So I didn't see anything here about what the nature of this is, the Islamic activities of these Libyan students in Egypt was.
Well, I think by the petitioner's own testimony, just that they were getting too involved in Islam.
What does that mean?
Well, I think
too involved could mean, you know, they're becoming followers of Osama bin Laden.
Right.
That's deeply involved in Islam, right? Mm-hmm. So.
But here, recall that it's not just on account of the persecution is not just on account of religion, but also on political opinion, and the judge kind of ties those two together.
Well, sure, because obviously radical Islam is a political movement. Now the question is it legitimate? Is the sort of thing that we would recognize as legitimate? We would consider it inappropriate to spy on these people, or is it part of, you know, international terrorism? I didn't see anything about characterizing the nature of this Islamic activity that the Libyan government is disturbed about.
Well, but the very fact that the petitioner states that these people would suffer harm and abuse
yes,
and torture.
Yes, of course they'll suffer harm if they're enemies of the state, right?
Well,
but if they're legitimate enemies, then their being punished is okay,
But the type of punishment that would be inflicted by the government of Libya is certainly different than the type of punishment that would be inflicted here in the United States.
Well, really, now, this is not, this is said by someone who isn't reading the newspaper.
Well, so. I that's why I added the
very,
one
very diligently,
but,
right?
But Your Honor, remember also that the United States, Attorney General has made a claim of waiver here. There are two other
I understand you have other grounds. I just am concerned about, you know, the line between persecution and legitimate law enforcement concerns of foreign countries, which leads them to plant, you know, undercover agents all around the world, as we do. So.
Well, but there is testimony that he thinks that these Egyptian nationals were part of the NSFL.
And what is the NSFL?
It's a group that opposes.
Well, I know, but what is the nature of this group? Is this a radical Islamic group, or is this what we would regard as a legitimate political party? I didn't say anything about that either. There's nothing about that, right? I've never heard of the NSFL.
I'm not sure whether the record.
Aren't these immigration judges supposed to know something about foreign countries?
Sure, but
so what is the NSFL?
Well, by the petitioner's own statement, the NSFL is a group that opposes the regime.
Right, but so does Al-Qaeda oppose them. So what is NSFL? Is this radical Islam? Is this what, as they say, is this what we would regard as a legitimate political party, or is it some kind of violent terrorist
According to the petitioner, the NSFL, or at least his uncle who was a part of that, was in power prior to the Gaddafi regime. So it was at one time, at least by the petitioner's own argument, and I don't know if it's true, I'm going by the petitioner's argument, that the NSFL was a group that was in power in Libya before the Gaddafi regime.
Yeah, but that's 40 years ago.
Sure.
Or more. I don't know when Gaddafi took over. It's been a long time that he's been in power. Now, what was the nature of the previous regime? King Idris or something. So, do you know anything about that? The character of that regime?
I don't believe that part is in the record.
No, there's nothing about the character of the NSFL. Whatever it was like 40 years ago when Libya was a monarchy, who knows what it's like today?
Well, but here, with the adverse credibility decision and the decision that he and Satisfied weren't approved, you don't even have to get there.
Adverse credibility. No one seems to have inquired into the character of the political activities that he was hired or coerced to engage in.
And I think perhaps the reason why there wasn't that much in-depth research into it by the immigration judge was because the evidence was so overwhelming on the other grounds with respect to adverse credibility, particularly where you have him telling the asylum officer one story, 50 pages of notes, well documented by a petitioner, signed off on the bottom of each page, and somebody who speaks, as far as we could tell, fluent English, and his sister who wrote the application, who also has no problem understanding the petitioner. You have all this evidence showing adverse credibility. Was there really a need, I'd suggest, that for the immigration judge to delve so far into the persecution issue when he had, I believe, enough on three different findings that it wasn't necessary to fully explore that 100%. I'm not saying he didn't, but I'm suggesting that there was so much evidence with respect to adverse credibility and burden of proof that on that particular issue, if you find fault with the fact that he didn't fully discuss the activities of the NSFL, et cetera, I think there's still plenty of evidence. And you know, before the Board of Immigration Appeals, they did not bring forward this claim that the adverse credibility decision was wrong. They did not bring forward the claim that the burden of proof was wrong. Those two findings are final findings of the immigration judge. He did not exhaust his administrative remedies by bringing them to the board before bringing them to this court. And therefore, those are final findings that should remain. And it's our position that the petitioner lacks jurisdiction. And to say that just because the board issued an affirmance without opinion, that you can now look at any issue that could have been raised is absolutely not true. That it would totally strip the provision in the statute which requires that you exhaust all your administrative remedies. And we submit that was not done here. And even if you find somehow that it was not done, you have three final findings of the board, each of which was supported by substantial evidence.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lawrence.
Thank you.
Mr. Helt, how much time does he have? 2 minutes?
In close, I would just like to, again, deal with the issue of persecutor. And as was asked of me moments ago...
Well, we've been through that. What about waiver? That's your real stumbling block.
The waiver, if presuming he is a persecutor, Your Honor?
Well, no, you seem to have waived everything. The critical issues, whether he has any well-founded fear of future persecution, and that's one issue where the evidence, your evidence, very thin. What's the actual evidence that he's going to face any kind of problem? If he was working for the Libyan government, why are they going to throw him in prison?
The record we would submit is clear that not only the conclusion, the 50-page report that was just mentioned, the findings of that show that the petitioner does in fact have a well-founded fear of persecution and would be harmed if he were to return. And these are conclusions that were not simply self-serving statements by the respondent, they were made by the Immigration Department. The issue, again, is whether, even if he is eligible for asylum and has a well-founded fear, is he barred? Are there certain issues where individuals who would be harmed should be returned nevertheless? And we don't feel that this is the situation. We don't feel that the petitioner, ever rose to the level of being a persecutor, and even if he were a persecutor, which the evidence does not show that he was, that there's certain bars of sending individuals back. There's a convention against torture, which we are bound by treaty not to remove certain individuals who, even if they are persecutors, cannot be returned to lands.
You're not answering the question about the evidence. That's some evidence, but if there's evidence on the other side, especially not challenged. I mean, I was troubled by the thought that you could fail to raise something to the board and then criticize the board for not being of the opinion that there was a substantial issue in the case. If you didn't give the board the issue to think about to begin with, how should they think otherwise?
Well, yes, Your Honor, we did feel that we did present the issue of persecutor, but since
right, but not the others. Anyway, well, I
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Thank
you.
Okay, thank you both, counsel. Next case, United States versus Smith, Mr. Hill.